Welcome to part four, the final installment of podcast number 90, Auction Napa Valley 2013. I'm here with Ann Vauder of Red Mare Wines, and Ann is also the winemaker for Karen Cake Red and Ziada Wines. How are you doing, Ann?
I'm doing really well. Happy to be here.
Yeah. Is this the first time, or you've been here several times?
No, this is my third year at the auction, and it's always just a blast. I love it.
Yeah, it's a crazy day, and it's nice to have the sunshine. It's going to be a little hot, but it'll be fun.
Yes, I wore my hat, so I'm good. I'm protecting my skin here.
And it's a very stylish hat at that.
Thank you so much.
As we were talking with Karen, I'm a big fan of the Sauvignon Blanc. It's a wonderful wine. Are you sourcing the same? Are you making Sauvignon Blanc for under the Red Mare name as well?
Yes, I make Sauvignon Blanc for Karen, for Ziada, and then for Red Mare as well. And for Karen, I source it from, it's mainly sourced from this amazing, really, really rocky vineyard that's almost in the Wooden Valley area. It's still in Napa County. And it's just this really unique site and has lots of shale. It produces this really expressive, really white flower characteristic and you know, ruby, red grapefruit kind of characteristic. And then for my Sauvignon Blanc for Red Mare, I source from Tom Gamble's vineyard in Yountville. And we just get a little bit from him, and it's Clone 22. It's on a really rocky section of his vineyard. And it's very distinctive as well. It's very zingy. It's very fresh. It's very, I like to harvest a little bit earlier. I'm not going for that gigantic broad style. I'm going for a very fresh Sauvignon Blanc style. And then what I do with them is I ferment them in oak, but it's mainly neutral oak, just a dash of new oak. And so fermenting in that wood just kind of helps broaden the palate a little bit. Because of the way we harvest it and because of the uniqueness of the vineyards, they still come out quite fresh.
Are you doing any reds at all?
I do lots of reds. Yeah, I do lots of reds. We're in Napa Valley. So.
What a surprise.
Yeah, exactly. So I make a Cabernet for Red Mare Wines, and that's kind of our flagship wine, and that gets sourced from all over the valley. My idea is just to find really unique vineyard sites from Coombsville to Calistoga and put the wine together kind of like a puzzle piece. And I love blending, and so it gives me the opportunity to basically blend from the ground up, like literally from the vineyard up. And for Karen, I make a Cabernet Franc, and it's a very distinctive Cabernet Franc from the Oakland Eastern Hills, which I feel like is holy ground for Cabernet Franc. And then I also make a Pinot Noir for her as well from the Carneros, which is a lovely Pinot Noir from a really shaley vineyard that it's actually really deep and really rich and quite big for a Pinot, but we love making that, so.
And do you have a website?
I do. It's redmarewines.com. Pretty simple.
Right. That was very easy. Thanks very much, Anna. Real pleasure meeting you.
You're very welcome. It's great to meet you, too.
I'm here with Chef Harold Dieterle, and you are the season one winner of Top Chef. So, yeah, you're the original guy.
Yep, for sure.
It's been how many years now? How many? 10 seasons?
10 seasons. I don't know. Seven years. They're certainly banging them out.
Yeah. So they really are. So update our listeners of where you're at this point.
I have three restaurants in New York City. First one, Perilla, opened 6 years ago, all in the West Village. Kin Shop, a contemporary Thai restaurant, opened inside 2010. And the Marrow, I just opened last December, which is kind of a play on my heritage. The menu's half German, half Italian.
Obviously, your cooking is the reason why you've become successful. But would you give Top Chef some credit along the way here?
Oh, definitely. Top Chef gave you know, all of us some pretty amazing exposure and allowed us to have some great opportunities.
Is there some kind of a sort of a fraternal thing between you guys as ex-Top Chefers?
It is. It's very cute. Everybody calls me the Godfather. It's a little ridiculous, but yeah, I'm glad. I'm happy. I'm the first guy.
Great. Is there a website our listeners could go to find out about you?
Sure. HaroldDieterle.com. H-A-R-O-L-D D-I-E-T-E-R-L-E.com.
Thanks very much. Appreciate Cheers. It.
My pleasure.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Thank you.
Hosea Rosenberg.
Yeah. I'm here with Chef Hosea Rosenberg, and you are season 5 winner of Top Chef. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Having fun. Getting a little warm, though.
Yeah. Well, it's going to get a little warmer, too.
Yeah, that's what I hear.
Well, at least you're not in the kitchen at this moment, though. What do you got going here today? What are you making?
I've got some Colorado lamb sliders. So we took some leg of lamb, slow cooked it for 14 hours, shaved it. It's got a couple different toppings on it. We've got a feta, cucumber, tomato, and pickled vegetable relish, and then an avocado, cucumber, yogurt sauce.
That's like completely different. Is this made just for this event?
Just for this event. I've actually never made this sandwich before, but I thought they needed some meat entries, but I wanted to do something that would work well with the hot weather. So it's all cold. We just roasted the lamb, so it's kind of warm, but then all the accompaniments for it are cold. And then we made some little smoked paprika fingerling potato chips.
So what would you pair that with?
I would do something like a really light Pinot or maybe even a rosé. Definitely a lighter red. I mean, the lamb has, you know, it's got that gaminess to it, and we've got some stronger herbs. So I'd do something like a refreshing red.
And this is a day for a rosé for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So tell me, since your time on Top Chef, which was, what, I guess about
years
5 years ago?
Yeah, three or four years.
Still any involvement with the show?
Yeah, I was just on the finale of the last season with a lot of the other people that are here for when Kristen won. I just did the Top Chef cruise last month, which was a whole lot of fun. And I still do things time to time.
So what are you doing to update where you're at?
I'm opening a restaurant later this year. I have a full catering business, a catering and events company. We do a lot of farm dinners, and I also own a farm, and we raise our own lamb and pork and chickens, and we have a greenhouse. We're growing a lot of our own products. I also do a lot of food festivals around the world. So
where's that at?
I'm based out of Boulder, Colorado.
I think it's fabulous you have a farm. I mean, that's, again, the farm-to-table concept, right?
Yes, sir. Yeah, that's exactly what we're doing. And it's our logo is from our farm to your table.
Very cool. And for our listeners to find out about you on the web, how would they do that?
BlackBellyCatering.com. It's BlackBellyCatering.com. Not to be confused with the Blackberry Farm, which is here today.
Cool. Chef, real pleasure to meet you.
Likewise.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thanks for your time.
Thanks. I'm here with Shepherd.
Shepherd. Wow, I like that, too.
Totally ranged. Yeah. Try it again. Yeah. I'm here with Chef
Richard Blaze.
It's just easier for you to say because I can't seem to talk
Fair
to
enough.
You. How are you doing, Chef?
I'm doing good. And how can I not be good? It's an amazing day here. I think it's going to get to 100 degrees, which you don't hear too often.
No, it's going to be really rough, I think, on all you guys when you're in the kitchen, isn't it?
I don't think so. I just like saying 100 degrees. But no, it's cool. We're in this awesome tent. I mean, we're here in Napa Valley at Meadowood. I mean, this is a brilliant day, and the food's going to be delicious, and I think the company's going to be even better.
What season winner were you again?
I won season 8 All-Stars.
And you came real close in the original season.
Yes, I was a runner-up in the first season and then came back and won season 8. So, yes, I'm a savvy veteran of Top Chef.
Cool. And so kind of update us on where you're at right now is what you're doing.
Wow, lots. I just dropped a cookbook, Try This at Home, which came out a few months ago. So that's on Clarkson Potter Random House. I have a restaurant that turns 1 year old in Atlanta called The Spence. And my newest endeavor is a restaurant in San Diego, heading to the West Coast this year. And I cannot reveal the name of that just yet, but it'll be in San Diego, December 2013, in Little Italy in San Diego.
Okay, so we kind of got, you know, half of the story.
Half the story. Big reveal soon to come on the name.
Cool. Chef, for our listeners to kind of update themselves on you on the web, how would they find you?
RichardBlaze.net, but really I am addicted, like many people, to Twitter and Facebook and Vine, which is my newest obsession. So at Richard Blaze on Twitter would be the easiest way to reach out.
Thanks for your time.
Thank you.
A real pleasure meeting you.
Of course.
Thanks a lot.
Thanks so much.
Take care. I don't think Chef should be scary.
I'm very scary.
I'm here with Chef Stephanie Izard, and she is season 4 winner of Top Chef. How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. Now, I'm curious. Are you still based in Chicago, or are you kind of all over the country right now?
I'm based in Chicago. I just opened my second restaurant there. So we have Girl and the Goat and Little Goat right across the street.
So tell me about what you're making today.
We heard it was going to be hot outside, so we got some royal red shrimp. We made a little ceviche. And on the side is a pobia. It's a Malaysian flatbread, so I just love crunchy things.
You call this hot?
It's toasty. It's a good day for some ceviche, that's all. With some wine, it's perfect.
It'd be very different in Chicago.
Girl and the Goat is about to celebrate our 3rd anniversary. We just opened Little Goat Diner across the street. It's open 20 hours a day with about 90 menu items. Bake all the breads in-house and everything. So that's keeping me busy at the moment. And then working on a new cookbook for Girl and the Goat and just keeping busy.
You still do anything with Top Chef at all?
Events like this where they invite us to beautiful places, I'm more than happy to.
Yeah, how are you going to turn this down, right?
Yeah, exactly.
How would our listeners find out about you online?
They can go to girlandthegoat.com or littlegoatchicago.com or stephanieizer.com. We're everywhere.
You are everywhere. Thanks very much. Real pleasure meeting you.
Thank you. Nice meeting you.
Cool. Thanks a lot.
Sure.
Have a good day. I'm here with Chef Ilan Hall, and he is the 2nd season winner for Top Chef, which is pretty amazing, right?
Yeah, it was a long time ago. It was back in back when Nixon was president.
Yeah, right. Exactly. And that was very spontaneous. Nice job. I appreciate that.
Yeah, let's change it up.
Now that the numbers are actually moving on my machine. So tell me about what you're doing today.
For today, we're doing grilled ox tongue. So we've braised it for a really long time, peeled it, slice it, then we grill it on the griddle. So it's not really grill, it's more griddled ox tongue. But it's really, really tender. And season it with a little bit of a shiitake powder, and then on a crispy piece of rye bread with romesco, which is a sauce made from piquillo peppers, Spanish meat sauce made in lots of different ways, but almonds, peppers, vinegar, salt, really fresh, really sort of nice balance to the sort of rich beef tongue.
Was this something you developed expressly for today?
No, it's an adaptation of something that we do at the restaurant. I mean, beef tongue is a really Jewish thing to do, which is kind of who I am. It is who I am. I was born a Jew eating tongue and stuff. And then, influences from places I've worked and things that I've cooked. I just think it's really tasty. It's, you know, it's a grilled piece of beef with a nice fresh sauce on it.
So update me on what you're doing today as far as your restaurant.
I own a restaurant in downtown Los Angeles called The Gorbals, and we've been open for over 3.5 years. In August, it'll be 4 years, which is crazy. I guess we've passed whatever hump it is. And actually, I'm working on opening a restaurant on the East Coast.
Really? Whereabouts are you willing
somewhere,
to say?
Somewhere between Maine and Florida.
That would pretty much be the East Coast, yeah.
Yeah. So.
Well, continued success to you. If our listeners would like to learn a little bit more about you today online, is there a place they could go?
Yeah, they can go to thegorblsla.com, which is it's all one word, thegorblsla.com.
Something jumped off the table. Moment caught on tape.
Yeah. No, that's it.
Great. One last thing before, and I want to mention. So you have your dad here with you today.
Yes, I have my dad here. Free labor that I can sort of quasi trust.
He's looking over and making faces at us right this moment. They're talking about me.
No, he comes to help. You know, he comes to visit in Los Angeles, and I put him to work every time he comes.
Are you a chef yourself, or
I'm a cook, not chef. So, I cook at home. He's a chef.
But he's my inspiration for getting into this business, sort of. I mean, he didn't really want me to get into the business, but.
But now I'm proud of him. Now he's done good.
Made it worth his while.
His food is amazing. That's what's really good.
Thanks, Dad.
You know what he does when he comes home? I cook something, then he reworks it, makes it better. So
critique as well as a good meal in the end.
Critique.
Chef, a real pleasure. Thanks
Thank
for your
you
time.
Thank you very much. Nice meeting you.
Nice meeting you as well.
Thank
you. A pleasure.
Nice
you. Thank Take you. Care, guys. Stay cool.
Chris Hanmer, CHRISHANMER.
And Chef, you were the Top Chef winner of?
Top Chef Season 2, Just Desserts.
Right, so that was sort of the new concept show. What year was that?
It was 2 years ago now, so I think 2011 is the year that we did it, I think. I don't remember. It's a blur.
I know. That's what seems to be for everybody here. So, totally different concept when you're dealing with desserts. I mean, it's a bit of a different challenge. Is that right?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, the concepts of it are different, and how pastry chefs and chefs think and work is also very different. So, it's really a fun concept when you start having just a show with only desserts, so...
With what you have here today. Actually, why don't you tell me about what you're serving here?
Sure. So I'm serving 3 desserts. The first one is a chocolate brioche with banana and vanilla. The second one is a strawberry almond cake with creme fraiche foam and berry consomme. And the third one is a poached peach with mascarpone and a churro.
Do you make any suggestions what somebody might want to pair these with?
Something really good.
Well, that's going to be hard to find here in Napa Valley.
Yeah, I know.
So tell me, for our listeners to update themselves, what are you doing today?
Well, I recently opened my own pastry shop in the Midwest, in South Dakota, actually, in Sioux Falls. And so we're 3 weeks old, or 4 weeks old yesterday.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so I have a school and consulting business in Las Vegas, and also CH Patisserie in South Dakota.
So I'm assuming somewhere along the line, Top Chef was a bit of a help to you, right?
Yeah, sure. It was a good experience, and you'll definitely got some fun awareness out there. So for sure, it was great.
And for our listeners to get caught up on you on the web, how would they do that?
Our best website is actually chpatisserie.com. Super easy.
This was a real pleasure. Nice meeting you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I can't shake your hand. I run out of hands.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. I'm here with Paul Leary of Blackbird Vineyards. How are you doing, Paul?
I'm doing great. Auction Napa Valley 2013.
Pretty amazing. And we just, probably about a year or so ago, had you in the studio to talk about Blackbird. You made me a big fan, I have to tell you that.
Thank you. We love what we do. 10 harvests. With the 2012 vintage. So we're just a babe in the Napa Valley wine industry, but part of the 33rd annual Auction Napa Valley. Amazing to be here once again, all to support local charities.
Yeah, you guys do a great job of that, but also you do a great job of waking up people to the fact that Merlot is a phenomenal grape.
Merlot is our baby. Not many people focus on it in the Napa Valley. Our winemaker, Aaron Pott, absolutely loves the varietal. We blend it with Cabernet Franc, Cabernet Sauvignons in our wines, but it's generally third in line.
All right, it's a biggie. Is Aaron here today?
Aaron is actually not here today. I think he's relaxing with his wife and two kids, as he should.
Is he allowed to do that? I don't know.
Rarely, but he needs it once in a while, even someone like him.
Right, I get that. Do you guys have a barrel lot here today?
We have barrel lot 2011 vintage, 10 cases from a vineyard in Yountville and a vineyard in St. Helena combination. A live lot that's a trip to the Kentucky Derby as part of some Blackbird wine and a trip to Napa. An e-auction lot, we've got it all.
Wow, you guys really jumped in. Good for you.
Every year we want to do as much as we can for it.
Congratulations. That's very nice. I hope you guys do really well off of that.
As long as we can do well, that means the kids do well.
Yeah, that's the truth. That's what it's all about. And for our listeners to learn about Blackbird Vineyards online and you, how would they find out about you?
BlackbirdVineyards.com. Easy to get there. Once you get there, all the information you need. Come see us in the Napa Valley. Purchase online. We'd love to have you.
Great. Thanks, Paul. Good seeing you.
Absolutely. Happy auction.
Cheers. I'm here with Chef
Hung Nguyen.
And you are the third season winner?
Third season winner of Top Chef Miami.
Right, Miami, which would be a lot like today in terms of weather, maybe without the humidity, right?
No, it was very humid there, Napa was very nice today, very nice.
And not to make a comparison, but I mean, that had to be an incredibly difficult atmosphere to cook in on a regular basis.
It was really hard, but it was so humid. We were like locked up in a van for like a couple hours a day. Then we had to cook, then we had to put in the little room where we all had to argue with each other. It was mentally challenging.
But obviously you took the challenge and you did very well.
It went well for me, of course. Thank God. Or else I wouldn't be talking to you today.
That's very true. Maybe I'd talk to you. Maybe.
Maybe.
Anyway, so tell me, where are you at today?
At the moment, we have I oversee three restaurants. One of them is called Catch. We have it at James Hotel Miami and at Catch in New York City. And then we also have the Genra, which is a modern Asian fair in Chinatown, New York City also.
Oh, nice. That's very cool. You got to like that.
I love it. You know, I never thought I'd be working in Chinatown.
Yeah, that's got to be very exciting.
And doing Asian food, you know, so.
Imagine that.
Yeah, it was a little scary, you know, thinking how we're going to compete with Chinatown. But, you know, our clientele is totally different, so which works out great for us.
Do you give a little credit to Top Chef for helping you kind of get to that point?
I think Top Chef definitely helped, you know, the exposure. 100% helped. And I'm really, really grateful for that.
And so if our listeners would like to find out about you now online, how would they do that?
How would they find out for me? They would just maybe Google my name. I just started my own website, but, you know, it's been so busy to really get the content in there.
Right. Well, especially with what you're doing right now. I mean, that kind of makes it difficult to keep
it
together.
Definitely. And I'm not too good with computers, you know, but I have someone doing it for me. You know. But
that's the idea. Get somebody else doing
exactly.
it for you. Chef, I'm a fan of the show, so it was a real pleasure meeting you.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Thanks a lot.
Thank
good
you.
Luck to you.
For sure. Thank you.
Cheers. All right. I'm here with Bill Phelps of Joseph Phelps. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. What a beautiful day and happy to be back for another auction.
It sold out so quickly, and you could see it now in this crowd. This tent is packed.
Yep, absolutely. I thought we were kind of on time, and it turns out we're rather late. So good thing we got here before things started in earnest.
More importantly, good thing you got here where there was still food.
Yeah, plenty of food. The food is fabulous.
And I'm guessing you have an auction lot because I see number 40 on your hat.
Actually, yeah. I'm really excited. This is probably the best auction lot that Phelps has ever put put into the auction. It's in honor of our 40th anniversary this year. My dad started the winery 40 years ago. So we have a trip to Italy to visit the Gaia family from the great Italian winemaking family Gaia. And in keeping with the Italian theme, Michael Chiarello is going to cook a dinner for the successful bidders at our winery at a time of their choosing. Michael Chiarello of Trevina and now Bottega. And in addition, we have one bottle from each of every vintage we've ever had from 1973 forward. So 40 wines from 40 different vintages.
Wow, that
so
is
we're
like
pretty excited about that.
That's an amazing.
That's kind of a once in a lifetime thing. So
yeah, I would say so. Well, first of all, congratulations on your 40th anniversary, which is no mean feat. I mean, my gosh, that's
we're pretty proud of that. In and of itself, it's unusual. But
for our listeners to find out more about you online, how would they do that, Bill?
www.josephphelps.com. Couldn't be easier. And there's a lot of fun information about the history of the winery and the 40th anniversary. So a lot of different events that we're doing throughout the year.
Excellent. Thanks for taking the time in between your lunch here.
My pleasure, as always, to be here and part of this amazing event.
Thanks very much.
You bet.
Cheers.
Thank you. Cheers.
Just say your name for me so I can get your voice level.
Ron Chandry.
And I wanted to make sure I didn't mispronounce it. Was that clever? Did I get away with it?
It was close enough. It was very close.
I'm here with Ron Chandry of Chandry's Cellars, and you're in Coombsville, correct?
Yes, we are.
And now that you're a new ABA, you can put that on your label, and it's pretty cool.
We are very excited with the new ABA, and people have finally caught up to us and found out what Coombsville is really about. We're really a very close-knit, small producer, but small community, but everybody's very close-knit, and we're producing some pretty nice wines there.
Some very nice wines, in my opinion. In fact, it was funny, because at Premiere back in February, to go to these events and to taste some of this wine now that it has Coombsville on it, you get much more of an identity, don't you?
Yes, we do. Coombsville is pretty unique in the soil type that we have and also in the growing season. So we're really excited about being a new AVA, and we're happy that other people are recognizing how nice the wines are from the Coombsville region.
And I was talking about how much I enjoy your wines, and you mentioned your winemaker's name.
Yeah, my winemaker is Don Baker. And he's been doing wine for us since 2006. And we actually met him at a church function. We were looking for a winemaker. And we enjoyed the wine we had on the table. And we picked up Don that evening. He came over, talked to us. He has been there ever since. He's not going to get rid of us.
I love your wife over here. This is Roberta, and she's making this reaction. Yeah, we just found a winemaker at church.
Yeah, just go to church, pick up a winemaker. Go back to church, get your vineyard manager. You know, it works.
I guess there's something apropos about that, right? Different?
It works.
Yeah, for sure. Rod, for our listeners to find out about you guys online, how would they do that?
You can find out about us online at www.chandryvineyards.com. And we have a website, and you can get a hold of us, or you can write me an email, ron@chandryvineyards.com. I answer everything that comes through our place.
And that, again, is pretty amazing that you can get a note back from the owner and talk about wine and get questions answered. I suggest people take advantage of that.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Ron and Roberta, it's a real pleasure to chat up, and I'm glad we caught up with you.
Thank you so much. It was our pleasure.
My pleasure. Cheers to both of you.
Okay.
Have a fun afternoon.
Oh, yeah, we will. Thank you.
Don't let too many people know about
Coombsville. I know. To a degree. I'm here with Jake Krause of Arkenstone Vineyards. How are you doing, Jake?
Doing very well. How about yourself?
I'm good. You got to be a little bit toasty today, I got to imagine. You're wearing a suit. I give you credit.
Well, it's good to look good at these things, but it is a little warm today.
You look very good. I'm going to say you look exceptional.
Thank
you.
So
you should go get yourself a pair of the Napa Valley Vintners cufflinks to just tie it all up.
That would finish out the outfit nicely. I am the estate director up at Arkenstone.
And what does an estate director do?
Well, up at Arkenstone, we're a small family production. So my job as an estate director, I handle all of our distribution, direct-to-sales driving, production, certain things on production, and we all wear a lot of hats, so it's overseeing quite a bit, but mainly building a brand right now.
And about how many cases are you guys doing?
Right now, our production is around 1,000 cases from our estate.
So nice and comfortable. Nice, comfortable, small size.
Yeah, good small size so we can really focus on quality.
And the focus is, and other than quality?
So we do a Howl Mountain Sauvignon Blanc, blended in with a little bit of Semillon, made it very much in a Grave style. And we do a Cabernet Sauvignon blend called Obsidian that comes from our estate as well.
So Jake, how can our listeners learn a little bit about you online?
You can go to arkenstone.com. Also follow us on Twitter at #ArkenstoneNV.
Excellent. Real pleasure chatting with you.
Pleasure as well. Thank you.
All right.
Have a drink.
You have Aiken, Meander, Conspire, and the winemaking partner for Amici Cellars right here in front of you.
Which is pretty impressive as far as I'm concerned. And
then there was waiting for a response.
And there was a hush across the room. So tell me, how's the new tasting room working out?
New tasting room at Palisades Winery is great. It's a beautiful spot up in Calistoga, top of a hill, and we are really, really enjoying having a home for all of our wines, Meander, Aiken, Conspire, and our partners at Amici, and so it's incredible. It's a beautiful spot.
I think what's neat about it is the powerhouse, as far as I'm concerned, in terms of the labels that you're offering.
Well, thank you for that. We're really proud of our wines, but what pleases us most is that we can host people in our own home our own humble home with an amazing view of the Palisades. It is a really beautiful piece of country that we love to share with people.
And that is by appointment, correct?
It's by appointment only, but you know, it's not hard to get an appointment.
That's true. All that takes is a little bit of finger dialing or maybe just a checking online, right?
That's right. We're always there for you. You can go to palisadeswinery.com. You can go to meanderwines.com. You can call me directly at meander, 707-963-3773. I'd be happy to set you up.
And there's nothing better than being set up by Amy Aiken. I'm going to leave it at that. Thank you both very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Good
Cheers.
Night. Cheers, and meander more.
Gets it in the last minute. I love it.
Yeah.
So we're here with Larry Stone, who we have not seen in a couple of years. Larry, it's really good to see you.
Thank you so much. It's great to be back.
Yeah, and where are you at Quintessa now?
I'm at Quintessa. I'm a state's director for Quintessa and for Huneas Vendors.
Very good. And where's that at?
Quintessa?
Quintessa, I know, is on Silverado Trail.
It's in Rutherford. Rutherford. Well, Huneas, we were based in Napa, so we have an office in the town of Napa. But we have a number of projects. We have Faust as well. We have another. We also run a wine company called the Prisoner Wine Company. So we've got a few, you know, irons in the fire here.
I'm a fan of the Prisoner, just to tell you that. Good,
thank you.
Good
thank
stuff.
You very much. It's great, great juice, a beautiful blend. We're going to come out with a new blend, a white sister to the Prisoner very shortly.
That should be really interesting. What a contrast, because it's so identified by being red, right?
Well, yeah, but it's a unique blend. I think that's the idea. It's a unique blend. I think we're going to come up with a similar kind of a wine for the white.
But you guys don't really kind of rest on anything here. You just got to keep moving forward, right?
Well, I think that's the beautiful thing about the Huneas family is they're always, you know, they've been foresightful. They've been visionaries in their in both generations. So we have Augustine Jr. now, Augustine Francisco, running the company, and he has a different, you know, he has different ideas and different plans than his father did, and it's which is necessary. You have a dynamic young person taking over the company and taking it in new directions.
Well, and that's what's happening too in the valley. I mean, new generations moving forward, right?
That's right. Yeah, it's great to see the younger generations getting involved. I mean, we're toasting to Margaret Mondavi and to Mike Gergich, and their children are involved now, the grandchildren and everything. So it's fantastic.
These are the people that started the latter version of this, you know, this part of the decade or the century, I should say.
That's right. I mean, it's so great to see everybody toasting their honor, and we're the people who got to inherit what they started and carry it forward. So hopefully we all do justice to the vision of the pioneers who helped make all this possible and had the foresight to work together. I mean, that's a beautiful thing about the Napa Valley Vintners Association is that all the wineries, which are in some level competitors with each other in some way, they saw the power, you know, the guys who started, whether it was Mondavi or whether it was the Martinis, they realized the power of joining together, joining forces and publicizing the whole valley. Otherwise, we'd just be walnuts and prunes and cattle and maybe a few grapes.
But yeah, which would really be the world's loss.
It would be a loss. The whole valley would have gone away. It would have been a suburban community for San Francisco.
Okay, just sent really ugly chills right up my spine.
I know, and said, look at what we are. We're one of the top wine-growing regions in the world. So I think that's really, it took a lot of commitment and a lot of teamwork.
I like the look on your face when you say that. There's a lot of pride in that.
I am. I'm very happy to be part of this. And I was, I'm also very proud of Rutherford. I have to say, being in Quintessa is just wonderful. Having been at another winery right across the valley, directly across in Rutherford at now the renamed Inglenook, which is very nice to see as well.
Yeah, that's kind of different. It's really that piece of history coming back around, so kudos to Francis
Ford
Coppola.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. I think he deserves a big hand of applause for that. And I think also, you know, to see if you know the John Daniels story, John Daniels Jr. was the inspiration for Robert Mondavi breaking away from his family. So you see even a further, you know, generation going back into the beginning of the last century, reaching forward to today. You know, there's like an unbroken line of inspiration.
Larry, you are such a great historian. I can sit and listen to you for hours. You know so much about this valley.
Well, thank you. I've loved this valley. I came here for the first time when I was 10 years old with my dad. We went to a bunch of wineries. At that time, there was still no Robert Mondavi.
Yeah.
Robert Mondavi began in 66, and the first vintage was like 66, and that was the brand new groundbreaking, the first time since Prohibition that a new winery had been created. So we went to Charles Krug and we went to Beaulieu, and I remember being a 10-year-old trailing around with my parents and being so amazed at how beautiful this place was. So to be a full-grown adult and to be here and think back on those memories and the inspiration that has carried me throughout my whole life, it's just wonderful. So really, I feel very touched by being part of this.
Okay, you're going to make us cry, man. Stop that.
All right.
If our listeners would like to learn about Quintessa, how would they do that?
Quintessa.com. Very beautiful website. And Quintessa has a website, so you can see all the projects there. And there's some really great information out there on the Huneas family and on Rutherford. Because if you look at the Quintessa label, it says Quintessa and Rutherford. The family is very proud of being in Rutherford, too. And that's the most important thing about our wine, is that it's grown in one wonderful estate in Rutherford.
Excellent. This was really great being able to catch back up with you again. Larry, nothing but continued success.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Good to be back.
Thank you for listening. And watch for our next program featuring Armin Kachaterian, National Sales Manager for Eller's Estate. Life Between the Vines was produced at Fifth Floor Recording Company in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Produced and edited by Ray Pfister. Original music by Tim Turton. Our intern is Steve Lance. Web design by Jenny Holland. Our web geek is Tim Panicucci. Photos by Jeanette Herniak. Copyright 2013.